May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done, and he said to them, "Come away to a desert place and rest a while, for many were coming and going." And I imagine that we all connect with that. We all know the feeling. "Hurrah for Broadstairs," cried Mr. Pooter in that most observant and perceptive of slim volumes, The Diary of a Nobody. After all the business and demands of the daily round, the common task, come the summer holes. Hurrah for Broadstairs. Yes, it is Broadstairs, because he's speaking, after all, at the end of the 19th century, not the beginning of the 21st. Hurrah for Broadstairs. Now for a bit, he says, of tuppence coloured and penny plain. We all need it. We all need to stand aside from the freneticism and demands of the world we've built and that others have built around us. We need time to draw breath, to reflect, to reevaluate. We all need it, and it's just as well to be reminded that Jesus Christ needed it too. I think we have a rather careless tendency to think that the perceptive and challenging teaching, the acts of power and healing, the wisdom and the costly living poured out of him like water from a tap, and to forget the long hours and lonely nights in prayer, the interior struggles of heart and mind that strengthened and equipped him for the fray, not to forget the 30 years preceding his short ministry. So I hope this morning, before we get to Broadstairs or wherever, if you'll excuse me if I speak for a little while about that equipping, and allow me to be really very basic about it. "Come ye apart and rest a while," says Jesus to his disciples. He invites them into where he is. If you want your daughter's company, you must shorten your steps and walk slowly, wrote one wise teacher on prayer to another. And I don't believe we can be too short in our steps in setting out to help each other to pray. We are, after all in this together, to borrow another phrase, and we may very well be one of those who find it difficult to walk this way at all, much less to keep up with those who seem to stride, or appear to stride, confidently and quickly along its roads. All I know is that when honest speaking about prayers going on, people on all sides can be heard to say that they don't pray, that they don't know how to pray, that they're not sure what it is, they don't know what to do about it, and they don't know how to keep it going. And that they say those things ruefully, apologetically, sadly, and often sounding a sense of need, guilt, or dismissal, while others go on about how very essential it is. When I was much younger, in years and in faith, I ambitiously lined my bookshelves with volumes by St. Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross, all the big guys and girls of whom I was going to be one. Well, there, as in so many other areas of life, I've had to learn that if at first I didn't succeed, I had to hide my surprise and get real. So here for a start are some more modest thoughts about beginning to pray. doing and then seeing, doing and then analysing. So, we all of us have moments of gladness, times when we feel pleased, grateful, relieved, exhilarated, joyful. And those moments really are a recognition of something given or done to us. And the natural response on our part is one of gratitude. But such thanks, I think, often curt and perfunctory, sparked off by moments of spontaneous gladness, do also have the possibility of being deepened. And praying at that point means deliberately prolonging, extending and savouring that gratitude so that it just doesn't go away unused or unexplored. Thomas Traherne, the 17th century Shropshire poet, knew this and I think expressed it very wonderfully in a poem of his, The Salutation. I that so long was nothing from eternity, did little think such joys as ear and tongue to celebrate or see, such sounds to hear, such hands to feel, such feet beneath the skies, on such a ground to meet. A stranger here, strange things doth meet, strange glories see, strange treasures lodged in this fair world appear, strange all and new to me. But that they mine should be, who nothing was, that strangest is of all, yet brought to pass. To pray is to make most of our moments of such perception, to pause on the experience, to turn it over, to set it in the context of past and future, to draw on its possibilities, and to reveal what's embedded in it. It may very well be that the day has offered, or not seemed to offer, any occasion for gratitude, as often occurs in the harshnesses and deprivations and cruelties of many people's lives. But our calling as praying Christians is to sift through the day and learn to pick out and become alive to what can and does engender gratitude in ourselves. And to do that on behalf of others. And let that gratitude colour the day. It may be anything. An unexpected smile, a falling leaf, an anonymous touch. But we have to say this is what really matters. Our praying should seek to enmesh us all in that sort of web, magic web of gratitude. But then just as people say, thank God for that, so we also cry out, God help me, meaning as little or as much in both cases. But it is a felt need that's a starting point there. And the reality that we're in no doubt about. If I'm frightened, I need reassurance. If I'm anxious, I need relief. And the plea simply expresses my need for help and in differing degrees my belief and expectation and hope that I can be helped. The important thing is to acknowledge the immediate felt need and that it points to something greater. Our dependence on others and ultimately on the other, however dimly we perceive or acknowledge this other. But just as gladness can prompt gratitude, So need can evoke confidence and trust. Lord, help me. Can begin to stretch out over the whole of life. And to bind ourselves and our need for help and the Lord together in an unbreakable relationship. And not only ourselves, but all those with needs like our own, peculiar needs of their own, or secret needs that no one else knows. Gladness, need, exhaustion. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. A Jewish prayer that any child would have known at bedtime. And the last word, or one of the last recorded words of Jesus on the cross. Surely such a trusting letting go is something we all need to learn at the end of busy and taxing days. It's the necessary counterpoint to all our striving, our pleas for help, all our enjoyment, all our conscious addressing of ourselves to the demands of living. We all need to learn it, to learn to let go of past hurts and resentments, to let go of status as others replace us, to let go of our offspring as they grow up and seek out their own ideas and perspectives, to let go of physical agility and well-being. The night cometh, and it's a matter of great moment whether its inevitable coming fills us with a sense of panic and emptiness, or trust, like a child falling to sleep. To be able to pray and practice let go is an enriching aspect of living for ourselves as well as others. It's the erosion of the possessiveness and destructiveness that go with it. And every letting go is a preparation for the final one awaiting us all. Prayer, growing in prayer, is one of the Christian essentials. And I suppose you'd expect a priest to say that, wouldn't you? But in a nutshell, prayer is letting Jesus pray in us, by which our self-centered thoughts, ideals, and hopes become gradually realigned with his. That's what I've been trying to talk about. Come ye apart and rest a while. Be with me and in me, says Jesus, as he invites us to the altar this morning. Align your eyes with my eyes, he says, your hands with my hands, your mind with my mind. Well, no, of course, that may sound rather ambitious. But he says you can learn from me. You can learn to be constantly renewed. You can learn to be unafraid to question and reason, unashamed to adore, unapologetic to explore the complexity of human life with graceful gratitude. For he says, beneath your heart, inspiring all its weak and intermittent motions, beats my heart, carrying your weakness and triviality like foam on the tide, uniting you with that center from which all love goes forth and to which all love returns. The heart of God. Let's give thanks for that. Let's acknowledge it. Let's trust in it. It is the very stuff of prayer. It's the gospel, the very good news.